Coming up on TMS, Mad Kim, Fury Road.
Dandy, where's my car?
We mixed Darrens and Dudes.
Beware of the Lake Ding Dong.
I just saved 15% on my insecurance.
I wish all squatting domains looked this good.
LasVegas.com for all your toiletry needs.
I don't like eating bees.
A big fish and a dildo walk into a Fascinations.
The green screen place.
Would you eat a dong fish?
If you spend $35 million on a forwarding URL, you have too much money.
CVS Convenience Casino.
Wedged into a goo hole.
Making and shaking with Bill.
Human trafficking with Bobby and more on this episode of Beep Beep, The Morning Stream.
It's like that line in Shawshank Redemption. Get rich or die trying.
I drink my urine every morning.
Oh, Hank.
The Morning Stream. A little dabble, do ya?
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for, what is it, Tuesday, June 21st, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. It's Brian Ibbett over there. Hi, Brian.
Hello. Hello.
Okay. Lost track of time there for a second. Forget what freaking day it is.
Dude, it feels like it's been forever, right? Because we had a day off you know, we had a Sunday a week ago where we did a film sack on a Sunday, which kind of helped, you know, break things up. But yeah. No, we had 2 days. 2 days where we didn't talk, Scott. It's crazy.
I don't understand. We have 2 days where we don't. It's been a long time since that's been true, yeah. Right? I think maybe when you went to Ireland. There was maybe a couple of days there we didn't talk.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, does that clip of NoHo Hank that you played there, does that mean you finished the most recent season of Barry?
I'm in the most recent season of Barry.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's that show I've always been caught up on week to week when it was out. The first two seasons, every episode I was on. But this one I got behind. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to let it pile up. It's not long. These seasons are over before you know it. And so, I'm in the middle of it. I'm probably episode 3, maybe 4.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. I couldn't remember where in the season he said that, but get ready for an incredible episode. I'm trying to think if this is considered a spoiler. I don't think it's considered a spoiler.
Okay. I trust
where
you.
Bill Hader delivers an incredible acting performance without uttering a single word.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in. Is that the finale or is something in the middle?
It's something in the middle. I like telling you this because it's something I wish I would have known before I watched that episode so I could fully appreciate it. But it wasn't until afterwards that somebody pointed it out. I'm like, oh, no kidding. He didn't say a single word that episode.
But, interesting. Okay. Yeah. That sounds great to me. I don't mind spoilers anyway, but I don't think that's one.
Yeah.
I think
that's definitely not a spoiler. There's no story elements given away. It is basically just hey, be sure to check out the incredible job by the always amazing Bill Hader.
Yeah, Bill Hader's amazing. I already liked him, but this show just makes me go, man, he's got so much more to give. He's so good.
Yeah,
he is. You see the production set? Furiosa images? I don't know if you saw these.
No.
Okay, well, I'm going to share them here with you and the world.
All right.
Because why wouldn't I? Hold on a second.
Let's just rip off that 0 days without a Fury Road reference.
Yeah, guaranteed to have happened. Let's see here. Why can't I find it?
I imagine you completed Framed yesterday without any problem.
Yeah, Framed first frame. Got it right away. And
People start saying, oh, make sure Scott does Frame today, Brian, like telling me to tell you, okay, I'll mention it to him in our meeting this morning.
Yeah, our important, very important meeting we have before every episode that we do every time.
Exactly. Yeah. And as soon as somebody said that, I'm like, oh, well, I think I can probably guess it without seeing frame one. Is there a way I can guess on frame zero now?
Yeah, exactly. Now, there's some question here. I'm looking at... Oh, I haven't sent you the link.
Send me the link.
Let me do that real fast.
Send link, please.
So, indulge me at home, everybody. I know you're sick of my Mad Max stuff, I know. But from what I can tell, this one image that I linked to you first, there's 4 images total. This is just a production shot. There's some, you know, guys out front here. You can tell they're working on the set and stuff. But back there behind the wall, looks like, if it's not Furiosa, it's somebody like her with the head... color, you know, the grease head,
right? The Right, very much like the Charlize Theron.
Yeah. And it's not her, as far as we know, because she keeps saying she's not in it. But I've learned to not always believe that. Sometimes secrets are best kept by lying to everybody and telling you you're not in it.
You know, it's possible that the story is bookended by her, by Charlize going, let me tell you about the time that I first encountered, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly. So this is entirely possible. Now, what's interesting is, I don't know if anyone else is noticing this in the chat room or Brian, but there is a lot of green in this place. And in the movie, they refer to the green place all the time. So I have a feeling this is what that is. I see a bunch of ladies on motorcycles, which tells me those are the many mothers, or at least they're part of that whole thing. So there's a bunch of lore coming together in my head that I have no basis for other than just quick visuals here. But I'm so excited. Right. I can barely freaking stand it.
Oh, I can't. That third picture, I can't wait to find out which character drives the white Nissan Sentra.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah, that's going to be great. By the way, I love one of the first comments on that third image.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's, I guess it's all these. It is, it's the first comment on all these where where is Mad Max?
Yeah.
Where is Mad Max?
Where is Mad Max?
Like, it's all one word. Where's Mad Max?
Yeah. Where is it? Where is Boo Boo? No Boo Boo. No, what's his, I forget what he says.
He didn't even bother to you know, read the tweet about it being Furiosa or anything like that. Where's Mad Max?
Yeah. Where is he? Where's Mad Max? Anyway, it's pretty cool. I retweeted it, so if you want to see what I'm talking about, everybody at home listening, you can go see that on my Twitter feed. It's Scott Johnson. It. And I'm very excited. Can't stand waiting, but I'll have to wait.
Cool. You will have to wait. We will all have to wait.
Runtfish sent me something I thought would be very shareable on the show, so thank you, Runtfish, for this. Okay. Not only a very nice person, but one of my favorite nicknames on the internet, Runtfish.
Runtfish.
Great name. Yeah. Sounds like go ahead.
This isn't tied to a game we're going to play, right? I can open that link.
Yeah, you can totally click it. You're totally fine.
Okay, good. All right.
10 most expensive domain names ever sold. This list surprised me. So you always think about, well, I'm sitting on these domains. Some of them I think are pretty good. Right. You know, maybe I'll make some money off one of these one day. Oh, you'll never make it in this level. Okay, so FB.com, formerly the Farm Bureau Federation domain, purchased by Facebook. Because FB, right? A Facebook.
Right, of course, yeah.
8.5 million. That's a number 10. So we're starting lowest level.
We're starting with 8.5 million.
8.5 million.
Holy Toledo.
We're going to work our way up. We're going to almost double that with number 9. Insecure.com.
Nope, just insure.
How did I read insecure there? Hold on.
Paging Dr. Freud.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, well, that's insure. You're right. Like insurance. Not insure like the weird drink my grandma drank. Not
insecurance.
Yeah, not insecurance.
Insecurance.
Yeah, you need, it's not legal if you don't have car insecurance. Anyway, 16 million. So they doubled the price there. 360.com, 360.com, belonged to a UK Vodafone group before the Chinese-based Quiho 360 bought it for $17 million.
Jeez, I would have thought Xbox, right? I would have thought Microsoft might have bought that, and
yeah, like the, back in the day or something. But
back in the day, yeah,
but no, this is Chinese company. Internet.com, 18 million, a couple of million more. Let's see, they sold this for 2009. Company made a successful domain investment and helped fund its effort to improve the business value, whatever that means.
The sad thing is they bought it, and it's now back available for sale. So, yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, internet.com.
How much, though?
It's not like it's going to go down from 18 million. It's like, oh, somebody else is going to say, well, freak, internet.com. Yeah, I'm totally buying that.
Yeah, it's this is pretty nutty. Look at that. Their website has a cool float your mouse around and make the background move.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I wish all squatting pages looked like this. Anyway, so there's that. What else we got here? Okay, yeah, check this out. Voice.com. A cryptocurrency company bought this before the bottom fell out, I guess.
Oops.
For $30 million. $30 million.
Jeez.
From an American software company, MicroStrategy, in 2019. At first, the offer of the domain was just a mere $150,000, but I guess there was a bunch of competition there. Mm-hmm. $30 million. That's a lot of money for Voice.com.
That is for Voice.com.
Good Lord.
And again, like, you know, MicroStrategy,
Yep. And you'll notice, by the way, we're now going to head into the top five. You're going to notice that we're heading into luxury territory. Like, we are definitely playing with the big boys with the big pockets, because it's all shit from here on out. So here you go. Privatejet.com. Privatejet.com was sold for $30.1 million. And this is where you start getting into the point whatevers, because, you know, that's how these things go.
Right.
The website aimed to provide 24/7 in-depth coverage of luxury lifestyles.
Pass.
Privatejet.com. Yeah, big pass for me. Yeah. Here's another one. Vacationrentals.com. $35 million. Good Lord. That's a lot.
No kidding. And it's, so that one is that, okay, that redirects. So Vrbo bought that one, which, you know, vacation rentals could just be as simple as an Airbnb, right, or Vrbo, for example. Right. It doesn't have to be like a, I'm going to rent a big mansion for my Fire Island festival.
Exactly. But the thing here is, if you're going to spend that kind of money on a domain like that, and all you do is forward it, same with FB.com.
Right.
I think you make too much money. You know what I mean? Like, that's ridiculous. You're going to spend $35 million dollars on a URL that you never plan to use at all. It's just only going to be a forwarding URL. Like, I'm sure they have numbers that say, well, enough people use that link that we make, you know, that it was more than justified. But gosh dang, dude.
I don't know. Does it do enough people search for vacation rentals that wouldn't search for, you know, that their regular SEO for the two words vacation rentals wouldn't do for them anyway?
I 100% agree, and I think it's ridiculous. This means you have too much money is what it means.
Yeah, it does.
Insurance.com. So the full insurance. Insurgents. Just kidding. It's insurance. $35.6 million. This was, let's see, aside from automotive insurance, company also provides comparison services for home, life, and health insurance. Again, if they can buy domains for that, that's too much. And that means we're paying them too much money. Insurance is a scam. Right.
Exactly. We're going to have to up your rates because we bought a domain.
Yep.
We bought insurance.com. Yep. So afraid your rates are going to have to go up.
And here we go
Lynn Street, by the way, is this company that owns so many, like four or five of these that.
Quinn Street. Yeah. It feels like their whole business model was to buy domains when they were cheap and no one had them. Hold on to them.
No, I think they're the ones that are buying, that are spending the money. Quinn Street, like if you look at insurance.com, Quinn Street bought that for $35.6 million.
Oh, I see. So
they're
the
ones actually buying these.
Let's see. A strategy to take over prominent insurance-related domains.
Huh. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's almost like they're buying it to sell them as a big cluster to like Allstate or Progressive or Geico or something like that. That's
what a skeevy business. I don't like it.
It's skeevy.
All right. How about this one? Carinsurance.com. $49.7 million. Again, the Quinn Street owned domain things.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one is my favorite, because it reminded me of you, partly why I wanted to share this list.
Gosh, can't imagine why.
Vegas.com.
Yes, LasVegas.com.
I'm sorry, LasVegas.com went for $90 million.
Wow.
Oh my. Comprehensive domain pricing estimates that LasVegas.com is bought at the cumulative price of $90 million. Vegas.com LLC, the buyer, signed a contract to pay for the exclusive domain ownership under this scheme. Initial one-time payment of $12 million in 05, $83,000 monthly for 36 months. That's a hell of a monthly payment.
That is
very Then $125K for the next 60 months and $208,000 monthly for the next 36. That's their payment plan.
So 3 years, 5 years, 3 years. So 11 years of payments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you know, and that one's a defensive play. You look at that and say, okay, because it was bought by Vegas.com. So if you're the company that owns Vegas.com and you're basically, you know, the I think it's like the tourism board of Las Vegas.
Is that who owns it?
One of the worst things somebody could do is slip under and get LasVegas.com and start pointing to their own hotel deals or airfare deals or whatever.
Oh, I see. Yep.
And just
swipe them right up. You're right.
Swap them right up front underneath you.
Yeah. Looking at it right here, just gives you some price guarantees. It's actually kind of broken. Their image carousel is not working.
Oh no, on Vegas or Las Vegas.com.
Las Vegas.com. This just tells me people have too much slushy money just to throw away. You know what I mean?
Can I tell you the other thing that I really like about this? I mean, this is where somebody with some Photoshop skills, the tiniest of Photoshop skills would come in handy. You go to LasVegas.com and you see that big, I would say muted, a poorly muted, colorized version of the west side of the Las Vegas Strip, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry,
that's the east side. You're looking at the east side of the strip.
Right, because on the other side, because that's the whatever you call it over there.
That's Paris and then Bally's and the Cromwell and all that stuff.
And the CVS! Sorry, go ahead.
That's what I was going to point out. Exactly. Look how prominent freaking CVS is in the middle of that. Like, you want to show off, ooh, hotels and glitz and glamour and fountains and and all this stuff going on. Like, they captured this perfect moment that the fountains were shooting up there, but also something shooting up over at the corner of Caesars and the high roller wheel in the background. Everything looks great.
It's all lit
and
up.
Then CVS.
Yep. And CVS is just right there for all of your toiletry needs.
If they didn't make a deal and say $5 million or we blur that out or replace it with Walgreens, we Photoshop that out, put
then
a Walgreens
effed
logo
up.
There.
You done effed up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
I agree. Well, I'm just going to say it. I'll say it proud. I think $90 million is too much to spend for anything, let alone a freaking damn domain.
I agree. I mean, yeah, I get it. But somebody made a beautiful payday that day.
Yeah, they did all right, I think.
Yeah.
All right. I also have a little bit of a clearinghouse problem today. We got to get rid of some short emails that we've been piling up for a while.
Do you have some short email answering music?
No, but I have this.
Send and receive email.
I have that.
Good enough.
Yeah.
Good enough.
Good enough. Or this.
In the news.
No, not that. I can't find it. I had a fart sound I was going to play and I can't find it. So here's all those emails. These have been piling up for a while. We got one from Darren. This is his short email. Hey, Scott and Brian, you say dude a lot. Why do you say dude so much? Signed, Darren. I don't know if he means both of us. I assume so. Because I say dude a lot.
He probably means, but I say dude a lot. Yeah. Oh, dude.
I feel like dude is a word that's been around forever. You could go back all the way to probably, I don't know, 1700s or something for dude.
Right.
But its prominence in my life happened in the...
something totally different for Sam Elliott.
Exactly.
He's talking about the dude.
The dude abides. But if you go back to high school... junior high and high school for me, it was planted in me permanently. It was just part of the vernacular of the time. That's what we said, dude, with everything.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how you take it out of us. It's just in us, right?
No, it totally is. Exactly. And you look at the fine work by the comedian David Spade, who explained that dude covers so many different instances, different ways of saying it, and different meanings depending on how you say it. So there's even a card game based on it. Come on now.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
For the rest of today, instead of dude, we're going to replace it with Darren.
There you go.
Darren.
Yeah. And by the way, I like that. Oh, Darren. I'd have to really get used to it.
What up, Darren?
I was wrong about the timing. Dude is an American slang for an individual, typically male, from 1870s to the 1860s. Dude primarily meant a male person who dressed in extremely fashionable manners or a dandy. So this word, according to this chronology, replaced dandy.
Dandy? So, That's interesting.
So guy was like, a fancy coat and a top hat and a cane. We would have called a dude in the 1870s. Someone comes to town, right? Comes into your small backwater freaking Arizona town, and he's all dressed to the nines like he's from New York or somewhere back east, and everybody would go, oh, look at that dandy. Or look they began to say, look at that dude, is what they'd say.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's so much better than a dude ranch sounds so much better than a dandy ranch.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
I'm going to go hang out at the dandy ranch.
My favorite listing here is, uses in film. In The Big Lebowski, Jeff Bridges is known as the dude. The 2000 film Dude, Where's My Car? Uses the word in the title. Really? Does it? Does it have it in the title?
On the back of Sean William Scott.
Oh, how's he doing? Is he okay?
I'm sure he's fine. He put in some time in the 2000s and
There was a drug moment there for him. I hope that's all over.
Was there like a rehab-y kind of deal?
Let's see. He described himself as a private guy. Victorious. Okay. proposed conference. There was something, something I read back in the day was like, the heady days of Stifler are over. Sean William Scott checks himself into rehab. I mean, you know, whatever. It's Hollywood. Everybody sees.
He did make a cameo in 2018 in the sequel to Super Troopers.
Oh, Lord.
Also appeared as Crash in Ice Age Collision Course.
How did I miss it? How did I not get that on my schedule?
Oh, I guess he's played Crash in a couple of the Ice Age movies.
Oh, yeah, and that Lethal Weapon show. I forgot about that. He was.
Oh, that's right. He came in and replaced...
other crew. Maybe I'm thinking of that guy's the one.
Maybe you're thinking of that guy, because that guy, right, was problems.
He was a poo-poo, that guy. Yeah. Yeah, we don't like him.
He's also in the brand new series Welcome to Flatch, which just premiered, oh, I guess premiered a couple months ago, but I keep seeing ads for it, and it's like, I think I might want to watch that. It might be funny.
Flatch. It's a comedy?
It's a mockumentary about Flatch, Ohio.
Documentary film grows a group of young adults, their current concerns in their small town. The crew focuses on their daily lives of cousins Kelly and Shrub Mallet and their idiosyncratic surroundings. Interesting. Oh, my gosh.
It's,
so, wait. Does Stifler play somebody's dad? Yes. Oh, no. Oh, wow. We've come so far. We really have.
That's right. The first few episodes were directed by Paul Feig. So, it's like, okay, that's kind of where... That's where the comedy direction of this thing is.
Paul Feig. Oh, Bridesmaids and stuff, right?
Yeah. Paul, Bridesmaids, the Ghostbusters.
The bad one.
Answer the Call.
Yeah.
I would say Ghostbusters 2 was the bad one. I thought Answer the Call was adequate.
It's better than 2. That's for
better
sure.
Better than
2. 2's bad. 2's straight up 2 a piece bad. Of garbage. 2 is bad.
You've got some great moments and some very quotable lines from Peter McNichol, but other than that.
Still haven't seen that new one. I should watch it. Just haven't.
Oh, you really haven't? Oh, wow.
Haven't gotten around to it. Where is that? Dude, probably streaming. Probably.
I mean, Darren. Come on,
Darren.
Darren, you need to watch that.
Oh, Darren. Doesn't work as well, does it? It's hard.
It really doesn't. No, because it really, you can't. The dude is just so general, and even though you're trying to replace it and make Darren feel general, it still feels like you're talking to that one guy who emailed.
Yeah, plus I know a guy named Darren here locally, a friend of mine, and I'm worried that I would say, oh, Darren. Like I'd mix Darrens and dudes. Yeah. Nobody wants to mix Darrens and dudes. Here's one from Kinderspace who says, hey, Scuttle and Brisk. What would you do if you ate a bee? Thanks for the show.
Well, it depends. It ate it, like swallowed it, or it flew into my mouth?
Let's say one. Okay, we'll do a two-parter here. Okay, the bee, you're at a picnic, you're on your, whatever, you're hanging out with Dave, crazy neighbor, you're looking at his cool new, you know, on up above ground pool, and and you're going, yeah, that's pretty cool, right? And right as you say it, and then you breathe, you laugh, and then you breathe in to capture some air, in comes a big fat old bee. And we'll not say it's like a hornet or something, because hornets are dicks, and they'll sting you whether you want to or not.
Oh, yeah, that'll be, like, the stinging inside your throat as it's going down your
esophagus. That's a nightmare. Now, the bee would certainly be capable of the stinging. It's just less likely because a hornet's a dick. So what would you do if first of all, it flew in your mouth, what's the first thing you try to do?
Drink something like the closest alcoholic drink that I can to both drown it and
drunken it
exactly like I want to
inebriate
what's the word, like I want to not cauterize, there's a word I'm looking for here,
sedate.
The date, yeah, exactly.
Okay, right. No, that's cool. Then it would calm it down, so it's not going to sting. Now what? Okay, then, and also potentially with that liquid in your mouth, you could like slosh it around and blow the bee out of there. He's done.
Right.
Right.
Oh, sure. Right. So you're saying this is still in my mouth?
Still in your mouth. You got bee mouth right now.
Oh yeah, yeah. Then anesthetize. Maybe that's it. In any case, slosh around, spit the bee out. No problem.
Okay.
Like,
now let's say
if I can spit it out prior to the alcohol, then that's what I'm doing. But now we're saying
now what about this though? Let's make a twist. Yeah. You were breathing in when it came in there, and it breathed it all the way down into one of your lungs. It's like in your lung now.
Geez.
So you got bee lung. What are you gonna do?
Because that's not like that's he can fly around in there.
Yeah, he's got mobility. Yeah. Sure. He can crawl, fly, whatever.
And he's gonna inflict some mayhem.
Well, he's gonna panic for sure, right?
Yeah,
because he's in this wet, arid nightmare of a...
I mean, those, you know, organ. I know that they can, obviously they have a stinger. They have one stinger, and if they sting you, then it causes them to die. But they can still bite, right?
I don't know. Can they? Can they bite? I don't know if bees can bite. Never actually heard whether they can bite. I assume they could probably bite.
Bobby says, fly around in your lung. What the heck do you think your lungs are, balloons? I mean, there's... They hold air. They're large enough.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to be like, but he's going to have some room, right?
Yeah, he's going to go. Blah, 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 blah,
blah, you get the villi inside the inside your lungs, the little fingers, but there's some room for them to fly, aren't there?
Yeah, he'll do some stop and start and kind of, you know, bumping around a little bit. But even if he gets all wedged into a little bit of a goo hole or whatever, then what, though? Do you let it die and absorb it? Do you worry about infection because now there's a dead bee carcass?
Oh, okay, pretty like a dense sponge. Okay, so J.C. Calhoun and Bobby are saying, no, lungs are more like it. So I've been looking like all those commercials, those TV commercials that show the cutaway of a dude who can finally breathe using Afrin or something like that, who like has his head turned and he's going...
Yep.
And they show his lungs. They're showing his lungs like friggin' balloons.
Yeah, they're like balloons. They're like dude, the word.
Yeah.
The 80s implanted into us. We have no idea what anatomy looks like on the inside because all the commercials were just this side view of that guy going.
Right.
And his fake lungs.
Simply Squared is saying this is like the episode of Rugrats where they thought watermelon seeds would grow in their belly. Not quite.
I'm not saying more bees would come out. Yeah, it doesn't mean more bees will be there. I'm just saying, let's say the bee got into this dense, spongy material that is your lungs, okay? And he's in there, and he dies from, he stings you, and maybe you don't even feel it, because who knows how your nerve endings work in there. I mean, Bobby probably does, but I don't know how. So let's
Bobby
say...
Bobby apparently knows everything.
So let's say that happens, and then bee dies. Are you just going to, do you just say, okay, well, the bee's dead, or do you do something like... antibiotic sort of precaution. Like, what do you do? Nothing? I don't know. What do I do? I don't know either.
I mean, I think I hop into Discord and ask Dr. Tolbert and Dan Patrice, what do I do? I just inhaled a bee and he stung me inside my, inside my lungs, my spongy lungs.
And Bobby says, I'll be quiet. No, we like this. Keep it coming, man. Yeah. Anytime we say something scientifically ridiculous, I like when Bobby pipes up.
Exactly. Whatever Bobby had lined up for his segment, it's been replaced by lung education.
There you go. Now, I do have a sound I would make if I, if I ate it. Would you like to hear what sound I would make?
Yes, please. Yeah.
That's the sound I would make right there.
Yeah. I want to say that somebody in my family, and it might have been my uncle, did swallow a bee or a yellow jacket or a wasp, because I distinctly remember being at a picnic, really, really young, probably like 7 or 8 years old, and a bee flew into his soda can, and he drank it.
Ugh.
And
that's horrifying to me.
And since then... Or at least for a while after that, whenever he would pop the top on a soda can, he'd flip the little thumb popper over to the hole to make it a smaller opening so that to hopefully keep bees from flying in there. I mean, they could still wedge their way in there.
But. Sure. No, bees love sugary drinks in the summer, man.
They do.
Yeah, they'll go right into your can. And you don't want that. You don't want a bee right in your can.
You don't want a bee in your can.
There is someone asked in the chat, isn't there a childhood song about this? Yeah, it's the old lady who swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed a fly. I hope she'll die, or think she'll die, or what, maybe
perhaps
she'll die.
Perhaps she'll die.
I hope she dies.
I hope she dies.
I hope that old bag dies after eating that fly.
She was a bitch.
But the rest of them are like, I knew a guy who ate a tree. Yeah. I don't know why he took the tree.
She keeps swallowing bigger and bigger things, right? So she swallows something to eat the fly, and then she has to swallow something else to eat the second thing, and then she keeps swallowing bigger and bigger things to spider. She swallowed a spider to eat the fly.
And now it's inside her. Spider's inside her. I don't know why it's inside her. She likes apple cider. Something there's like the that. Song.
Yeah.
Yep. Nailed it. I remember it perfectly. All right.
It's made for some great titles that we'll hear at the end of the show.
Yeah, we're going to have to dig through these. All right. Here's one from Constable Bishops. I don't know who that is. Freaking love
Constable
that name.
Constable Bishops.
I am Constable Bishops. Come with me. To whom it may concern. I guess that's us. Is Thera or Thera?
Thera,
Potato. It's not spelled potato right. Potato yeah, with a T.
He spelled it like Dan Quayle.
Okay, so is there a potato there, but spelled the wrong there? The
possessive there.
Possessive yes, there.
Exactly.
Yes. Signed Constable Bishops. I don't know what to. Why did yes, I even pull this
the
email?
The answer is yes. Thank you, Constable Bishops.
Is there a potato there? Oh, you want to ask for indica. Okay, next time you're at your bud salesman. Indica, not the other stuff that hypers you up. Yes. Okay, bud? All right. Armin, final one, Armin.
Okay, all right. I played, hope his last name is Hammer.
Yeah. Or Amarin Shimmerman from freaking Star Trek.
Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, that guy's great. Hey, guys, important question here from Germany. Oh, Germans. Would you rather eat a... Oh, man, it's one of these. I forgot I put this in here. Yeah. Would you rather eat a rotting, nasty, severed big toe once and keep it down, or be forced to put Danny DeVito's big toe in your mouth every day for 90 days? The world must know, Amarin. Or Armin. Is that Armin? I've never heard that name.
It's Armin. Armin, yeah.
Yeah, Germany name.
You know, here's the thing. Yeah. If we reward this person by giving them an answer... They're just going to send more.
By giving
We're just
going to
get
platform.
More of these.
Yeah, it's a good point. Okay, Armin, don't take this as an opportunity to ask this all the time or anything. But I think I would do the rotting toe once. I don't want to put Danny DeVito.
I would do
the
rotting toe once.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would keep it down. I'd push it through. But, you know, I don't want
to. He doesn't say how long Danny DeVito's toe. The Danny DeVito would have to be in our mouth every day.
The DeVito.
DeVito.
That's
and like,
good.
Would it be right after his shower? Like, even then. Good Lord.
I know. It doesn't matter when. At this stage of his life, at this stage of my life, I don't want Danny DeVito's toe anywhere near my mouth. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, exactly. At least maybe then it'll step on the bee. Thank you, everybody. There's a callback, ladies and gentlemen.
Because honestly, the eating, I could swallow a toe, severed toe. Rotting or not, I could have it go down in one
get it
sleep.
Down and just be done with the whole thing.
Yeah,
done
be with finished with thing. It in one fell swoop. But 90 days of, all right, Mr. DeVito, give me your big nasty club foot with freaking 400 years of goo on it. Put that giant toe in my mouth. Oh, you didn't clip your nail this time. It snagged my cheek. Like, F off.
I'd like cut my tongue on your toe, your ragged toenail.
That's horrendous, so no. Because basically you're saying, do you want to eat one nasty toe once, or do you want to basically eat 90 days worth of a nasty toe?
Suck on a live nasty toe for 90 days.
Gosh, dang it. I don't even care if Danny DeVito likes it, but he probably wouldn't.
This is why I didn't want to reward Armin with this business.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe he does wash his toe. Maybe that's why.
Like his email address, whatever.
Maybe Rhea Perlman left him because his toes were bad. I don't know.
Maybe.
I have no idea where this even is coming from. That's the other thing, Armin. If you want to send in an email explaining where your mind got this, that'd be great.
Hey, Latka!
Latka. You got take taxi number 15 and pick up a thing.
Hey, Rieger! Where's that fare you was supposed to bring me? I'm the same person my entire life. I've never changed.
That might be my next. Is that streaming anywhere?
Taxi is streaming, I think, on Hulu, I believe. Let's see.
Is it all the taxi?
Streaming. Oh, I'm sorry. Prime Video, looks like. Somewhere.
Okay.
It's streaming somewhere, and it's worth it because that's still a very funny show. It's worth watching.
Yeah.
Some early producers that would go on to do all the Cheers stuff and all the Frasier things and the Simpsons and a bunch of other people all came out of there. It's really good.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. We're going to never read emails again and instead do this. It's time for the news, and it is brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville. There was a brand new episode last week, and since we didn't do a Thursday show, I couldn't tell you all about it. But I'm going to tell you about it now, because as it is a podcast, you are able to go back and listen to it. Paul McCartney turned 80 this last weekend, and so, of course, I did a big old Paul McCartney show, focusing on his solo career as opposed to his time with the Beatles. So you hear covers of Paul McCartney songs by folks like Tim and Neil Finn, Robin Zander and Rick Nielsen from The Crowded House. Oh. I'm sorry, from Cheap Trick. Oh. Tim and Neil Finn from Crowded House.
Oh.
Cheap Trick's Robin Zander and Rick Nielsen. The band Enough Zenuff. And even Death Cab for Cutie, a rarity from Death Cab for Cutie. All that over there at Coverville.com. Go listen to it. Enjoy today.
That sounds great. Paul McCartney, did you got any covers of Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas?
I have covers of it. I did not play covers of it on this this episode. But,
good, because it's the worst thing ever made.
Yes, good. It is. Yes.
It's horrendous. There's no question about the truth of that.
No, but there are good covers of it out there.
Are there?
Enough.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd have to be... You know what? Christmas rolls around. You surprise me.
I will surprise you. I think I've played the one I like. It's by... it's an electronic version by like Foster the Giant or... It's one of those blank the blank bands like everybody seems to want to do now.
Everyone loves the blank the blanks, yeah.
Cage the Elephant, Young the Giant,
yep.
Chance the Rapper.
Yep, they're running out of names. Kind of like Cars.
Yeah.
Cars are running out of names, I noticed the
Portugal
other day.
Portugal the Man.
You're starting to see cars called like the Wellington or whatever. Like they're giving them dumb names for cars because we're all out. We don't have any more names. No more cool names for cars.
No, they've run out.
So they're all stupid. Exactly. The Sorrento, what is that, a chili pepper? What is that? Lame. All right, first story of the day.
Yeah.
I like big dogs. I cannot lie. Lost giant dog rolls up to a Dollar General store and then refuses to leave. He had had enough.
Why is he rolls up?
Yeah, like, he rolls up.
You know. Seems like they didn't need to add any other flourish to the headline for this.
Yeah, giant dog doesn't need to roll anywhere, I guess. Lost dog in Florida decided to cope with the situation via retail therapy. Employees at the Dollar General, which weren't they controversial recently? Because stuff is now like $2, $3, $5 there. It's not really
probably
a dollar.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. In Bradenton, called police this week reporting a giant dog that wouldn't leave.
A Florida dog.
Florida dog. let's see. There's a now viral Facebook post that includes body cam footage of the canine lumbering around the store. He's 135 pounds. His name turned out to be Bentley. It's a great name.
Bentley.
Has entered the store on his own, spent a couple of hours browsing before it was closing time, and then the staff didn't want to simply turn the gentle giant out onto the street. He had a microchip. Officers were able to track down his owner, and the dog had apparently broken through the gate at home before his attempted shopping spree. He didn't actually shop. He didn't buy anything.
No.
Come on, article.
He smelled food in there. He wandered around looking for food.
Yeah.
He realized he didn't have any pockets.
Yep.
So no money. And then got chipped and returned.
And then, you know, euthanized and buried. Nope, none of that happened. Just kidding. Let's see. Is this video
That's
here?
That's when Dollar General story goes too far, Dollar General.
Oh, there is a video. Let's see if we can play this. I don't know if it'll do justice on this or not.
It's going to be a dog walking around.
So there's a guy driving.
Convenience store.
Oh, it's the cops. What do you call it?
Body cam?
Yeah, they're body cam footage. Body cam footage freaks me out because I always feel like I'm about to see something terrible go down.
We've been trained. We've been taught that, you know, that nothing good ever comes from body cam footage.
No, and there's a reason, you know, you always hear about them refusing to give the body cam footage because investigators are like, we need the good footage. And they're like, no. And they're like, oh, well, I'm sure you have nothing to hide then if you're just outright saying no to your body cam footage, which only exists, that camera on your gut or in your chest only exists to capture what you're doing. So if you refuse to give it to people, why? Oh, that drives me crazy. Anyway, look at that giant dog. Oh, he's going to the office. Oh, come out of there, buddy.
Yep.
Yeah, here we go.
Have you guys added up the till yet?
We're not leaving until you sweep the third aisle over there.
Till things are equal.
I like that dog. He's cute.
Yeah, I do like St. Bernards.
You know what we have? We have a listener in the form of H who knows all sorts of cop things. H, if you're listening, send me an email about body cam footage and why do cops hate them? And if so, why? And also, why don't they want to turn them in sometimes? Is it just self-preservation? Is that just the natural thing to do and you got to make a warrant happen? Like, I don't know. I don't know enough about anything to know. All right. Suspect in a 5,000-acre Arizona wildfire says he was burning used toilet paper. Yeah. Yeah, this is great. This is what we want.
What a shitty thing to do.
Don't you have a few going right now? You got some fires or something in Colorado?
Oh, like a few rolls of toilet paper? We do. We've got one in each bathroom. Yeah, I think we don't. Do we have some wildfires going? I think we do, because I remember smelling the smoke a few days ago, which sucks.
I feel like you said something to me, like, or maybe it wasn't you, but somebody was saying Colorado, so I'm like, this is not yet.
It's early. It's really early in the season. Let's see here. The Fire Weather Avalanche Center is showing, small fires in the southwest.
So normal, like, stuff.
Normal stuff.
Because you always get something in this part of our world. But
it's the
ones that are, like, filling your...
current.
The ones that fill your sky. 49
active fires is what it's saying.
That's a lot.
That is.
That's one for every...
But one of the ones I'm looking at here is, you know, one that got put out eons ago.
So they're not good about keeping up their data?
I don't think there's a Wonderland Lake fire is still going on, but... No, apparently it's active. It's a 1-acre fire 18 miles west-northwest of Denver. Wow. All right.
Okay.
Updated 2 hours, 26 minutes ago, so...
Probably some there, and I don't know about them. They're probably. I know Arizona. Well, this one in Arizona we're about to talk about definitely happened. A 57-year-old man arrested on suspicion of sparking a 5,000-acre forest fire in Arizona told deputies he was burning used toilet paper Saturday while living in a
Coconino National Forest.
Is that right, Coconino?
Yeah, Coconino.
Right. Felt like one. If I got it wrong, it'd sound really bad. I don't know why.
Coconino.
The pipeline fire was first reported shortly after 10 a.m. Sunday, roughly 6 miles off north of Flagstaff, Arizona. I have friends in Flagstaff. Hundreds of Coconino County residents were ordered to evacuate as strong winds fanned the flames, according to emergency officials. Anyway, the guy was burning used toilet paper. He thought that'd be the way to do it. It's like, oh, I took a dump. Now I need to get rid of this here toilet paper. I guess I'll burn it. Imagine that getting out of hand, though. Oh, no.
I can't stomp on it. It's my poop.
They don't say whether that held him back, but it probably did.
It's like he pranked, the door thing to himself. Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding. Speaking of pranks and doors, oh my gosh, I'm glad you brought this up.
Oh, wow. What great timing lead-in.
We've had a weird spate of these in our neighborhood. Not us, but others have had door cam footage of people coming up to their doors and doing stuff at like 1:30 in the morning.
Jeez.
And one of them is this shotgun kick. I don't know if you've heard of this.
No.
But it's teenage idiots doing this. It sounds like something me and my friends may have attempted when we were 16, so... I as much as I want to complain of these kids today, it sounds like something we would have done. But
right.
Anyway, they run up to the door, and they're doing this over in this place that's a 55 and older community thing. It's like an older folks thing. So they're all in like their average 60s, 70s that live there. So old people, middle of the night, 1:30 in the morning, you walk up, you go bing bong with the button, and then you turn around and you horse kick the door as hard as you can.
Oh my God. Okay.
So you know, like, kind of a reverse kick. It makes it makes a sound that sounds like somebody just shot a .44 caliber freaking rifle or pistol. It's so loud and so gunshotty. And there's just a spate of these. So whatever, warmer weather, kids are idiots, that sort of stuff happens. But then my friend Darren, that I was talking about earlier, who we want to swap dude for, Darren's not a dude swapper. I just want to I'm not trying to say that. He's a real good guy. Anyway, they have this footage of a guy out walking his dog at 2 a.m. He's walking his dog past his house, goes past his house. I've seen this footage. It's all like done in night vision, so it's even weirder. He passes the house and then he backtracks, goes up to their porch, grabs the long cushion from their like lay down kind of furniture that they have on the front porch. They have a big porch.
Yeah.
And then one of the smaller seat cushions, just takes those and walks away. Then they're like, okay, well, that's weird. He seemed to have some kind of like expensive shoes and he didn't look homeless or something. That's what we thought maybe it was going on.
Right.
He just needed somewhere to sleep or whatever. But then they found these cushions in the tunnel over by the river that leads to the lake.
Oh.
They were laying there. So he must have. So the current running theory is this dude, who's just some average dude in the neighborhood, got kicked out of the house by his wife.
Oh, interesting. And then slept
under the tunnel with his dog. That's the only theory we can come up with, because we don't know what else is the cause here.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, when you described it, I thought, oh, he was wanting to do something nice for the homeless and employed somebody else's cushions to do it.
Yeah, basically. They got him back, though, so they're pretty weirded out. But this is just, I don't know, there's like an uptick in this stuff. And I don't know if people are just restless. Maybe it's always like this. I don't like to make too much of it because I don't know. I really don't know. It's easy to look at it and go, oh, it's worse than ever. Like, I don't know if it is.
Exactly. It's the burgeoning homeless problem.
Yeah. And it may be. I don't know. But I doubt it. In this particular case, I think this guy, he would have had his shoes stolen and sold by now because he had really nice shoes on. Anyway.
I think I would just, if they've got that nice little setup on their porch with the nice cushions, I would just sleep there.
Just sleep there and leave it like four. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Get up before things turn on for the day.
Darren goes to CrossFit in the morning, but he doesn't leave at, 2 o'clock in the morning. You'd have been fine.
Right. And what's he going to do? It's like, hey, get out of here. Okay, sorry. Kicked out of the house. Bye.
Darren would scare me if I didn't know him because he's like ex-Navy, big guy, does CrossFit, just a big monster. He's a total teddy bear, like the sweetest guy.
He's an intimidating looking Darren, is what you're saying?
Yes, he's very intimidating if you don't know him. Once you know him, he's the sweetest dude you've ever met. Like literally just like you want to hug him and you hang out. He loves Star Wars. He's just the nicest guy.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
But if you saw him and didn't know him, you go, we're going to die today. He looks scary.
Jeez.
He may hear this. I don't know. All right. Here's we got a big fish and a dildo story. You ready?
Great. This sounds like the lead into a joke, right? Yep.
This the start of a really weird episode of
A Fish Walks Friends. Into a Fascinations.
There you go. Wait, what is that? Is that a thing? What's Fascinations?
That's a store. Like an adult store? I thought there was a national chain of like sex toys and stuff like that.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe we have them. I don't know. Someone look that up. We got one of those in Utah?
Sure. Pretend you've never heard of it.
I really have never heard of it. We have one
what
here called...
What is this Brazzers you keep mentioning?
I really didn't know what that was either. I do now. But I knew what we have a place called the Blue Boutique, but I don't think that's national. I think that's just a local place.
Yeah, I've never
and then we
that.
Had one more called the French Connection, which is no longer there. That was there in the 90s. And it had nothing to do with car chases or,
Whistle 34 says, Brian only shops for sex toys at national chains. Well, yeah, because then I can take it back to any other store. I don't have to go specifically to that store.
That's right.
Duh.
That's right. When he returns them all, because that's what he does.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Gets
every
them.
Single thing I return.
Yeah,
only
get them.
Use it for.
Use them and then take them
minutes.
Back. Yeah. We used to call that the 7-day return at GameStop or Software, etc. You could buy a game, play it for 7 days. Take it back before the 7 days are up. They give you a full refund.
That's right. Exactly.
Oh, that's the same deal. Well, all right. Big fish ate a dildo. This is what happened. An Indiana man's routine fishing trip with a friend turned into anything but ordinary after the pair learned what was inside of a catfish they had just reeled in, a big old adult toy. Richard Kezar, something like that, wanted to take his friend John Hoop. His last name is Hoop. That's great. Out on the Ohio River near Lawrenceburg, so Hoop could catch his first big blue catfish, according to the local news channel. Hoop caught a catfish, making it the first catch of the day. Then Hoop and Kezar noticed that the fish had a larger than normal stomach, but I didn't think much of it because they often swallow other fish, turtles, other animals, that kind of thing. I've actually seen that. I opened a fish I caught once, and I had another fish in it, so I get it. They kept fishing, catching a few more. And felt the fish, felt the fish and noticed that it was inside was too hard to be another fish or animal. It's just too hard, So once Kezar got home to his wife and 3-year-old daughter, they cut that fish open. Then they immediately sent the daughter to bed. Get out of here, kid.
Yeah, right.
We decided to cut it open and we found a foam ball, part of a fish, and the other object.
The other object.
Mm.
The fish was about this big.
Yeah. It was a monster cat. Anyway, we decided to open up, and there was the other thing inside, a foam ball, part of another fish, and a phallic-shaped sex toy. So, yeah, next time you're fishing. I mean, this is where things go raw for me. If I start to think about the story of how it got there.
Yes.
That's trouble, because what this means is somebody tossed a freaking ding-dong into the lake when they no longer had a use for it or whatever. That's weird, right?
That fish said, ooh, a smaller fish. Gulp. Oop, that wasn't a fish.
Well, nothing I can do now. fish don't really throw up, so I'll just keep this in here.
But now, why am I the most popular fish in the pond?
Yeah, why does everybody want to be near me?
Yeah, did that guy eat the fish? Probably not.
He doesn't say. He doesn't get into it.
I don't think you could eat that fish.
Look, I love catfish. Fried catfish is one of the greatest things man has ever done with nature. But I don't think I could eat a dildo fish. I don't think I could do it. I mean, I'd like to say I could, but I really don't think I could. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time with Bill. It's time with Bobby. It's a good time for all. But to do that, we got to play a song. So, Brian, could you play a song?
I could. I could, Scott. Uh-huh. I could, and I will.
Okay.
We're going to play a song by a band called Telenova. I feel like these guys are either New Zealand or Australian, because they're touring all over Australia and New Zealand this summer to promote their brand new EP, which is called Stained Glass Love. This is this is a good description right here. Widescreen pop music, cinematic in scope and ambitious in design. Despite the sweeping sonics and muffled club beats offering escapism of the higher order, enchanting frontwoman Angeline Armstrong's lyrics are drenched in real-world pain. Private universes nestled within the sleek musical beds.
Whoa. That's intense.
I love the writing of press releases for bands.
They're pretty great.
Here's my description. I like this, and I want to play it for you.
Okay.
Here's the song Haunted by Telenova.
Now When Sally Gasco and her mother bring guests home for a late snack after a movie, they have something special in the way of a sandwich in mind. Sally calls it tuna rarebit. Let's watch how she makes it.
No wonder you guys never talk.
The Morning Stream. No dicks here.
One of the fish.
Yeah, except the fish. Hey, Brian, remind me who that was.
Sure. It's only been 3.5 minutes, Scott. That was Haunted by the band Telenova from their brand new EP. Brand new, just came out, called Stained Glass Love. Go see him if you're in Australia or New Zealand.
Yeah, that sounds all right.
Yeah.
Okay. We are now going to bring Bill in.
Okay. All right, good. Because I have a question just for Bill.
Yeah. Well, he's punishing his props. He takes a moment out with us. And
like a catfish.
Like a catfish. Punishing that prop, yo. Check it out.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Hey, look who it is. It's Bill Duran, our old pal from the Pacific Northwest and the home of punishedprops.com. He's a maker and he's a shaker, baby. Bill, what's going on? How are you on this Tuesday?
Doing fantastic. I got a trip coming up here.
Oh, do
fact,
you know?
In the show next week.
Oh, you will be gone. Oh, you were already. Actually, last week you went somewhere. You went to some con or something. I saw pictures. What'd you do? You went to
we had a little convention here in Washington Summer Con. I stopped by for say hi to some friends.
Yeah.
Dressed up as a Ghostbuster.
Yeah, you nice. Looked like a proper Ghostbuster. I wasn't afraid of no ghosts when I saw you.
Did they say who are you going to call
yeah,
Bill?
When you said,
I got a lot of those actually.
Oh, you did.
Walk around in public dressed as a Ghostbuster. People will yell that at you.
Yeah, of course. But you had your did you wear your fancy new backpack you made?
Yeah. I was gonna say my proton pack has a button that just plays the Ghostbuster themes. Whenever anyone would say, "Who are you gonna call?" I just hit that button and it started playing the theme song.
You have to pay what's his name? Any royalties for that?
No,
his name. What's his name, Brian?
And you don't say, "Hey, man, Bustin' makes me feel good."
Yeah, Bustin' makes me feel good. All right, hey, real quick, Brian has a question for you that we have to get out of the way.
I do. Yeah. So, eagle-eyed viewers who are watching the stream might notice that next to my Captain America shield, there is a vacant spot because sometime over the weekend, the one of the little arms holding up my 3D printed Mjolnir broke, and now my Mjolnir is in two pieces.
No! Two-piece Mjolnir? No!
A two-piece Mjolnir. Like, it's just like what Hela did in...
She's such a butthole. Okay, so what do you...
Uh-huh. She is.
So you're like, how are you going to hook that back up? I guess that's the question. Like
you can see the 3D printed honeycomb pattern inside there. You can see the 3D printed honeycomb pattern inside there. My thinking, and here's what I'm going to run by you, is that I take a drill and I drill out the same size hole in both of these, and I put either a dowel or some PVC pipe for the thickness or the depth as far as I can drill it to connect these two, and then use like a Gorilla Glue or something like that to fill in.
Because otherwise, just straight glue is not going to do this, right? Because that
it's lost its, even if I glue this thing, it's not going to be strong enough to keep this thing from falling back off.
Yeah. You definitely want to add some sort of support. A PVC pipe is a great idea. A threaded rod, like a steel rod, you could get at the store, that would work. And then I would just use like a 5-minute epoxy.
Okay.
I think he said epoxy, didn't he?
Epoxy. Sorry, like a Gorilla Glue. There's that glue that foams up when you add water to it.
That's a Gorilla Glue, right?
Yeah.
That
stuff sticks to everything.
It really does. Like it. I think actually that's what's holding the two halves of Mjolnir together, because this is two pieces right here.
Those gorilla people they're not the same people that do the glass, right? That's a different thing. Gorilla glass.
No,
gorilla glue.
They do have Gorilla tape, which is like the best duct tape.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. I'm going to give you some Gorilla tape. Screw ducks can go quack themselves. Oh, it's not ducked. Oh, okay. Anyway, hey,
but
Bill.
I'm lucky, like, with all my little arcade machines there, like my New Wave Toys arcade machines, I'm really fortunate that it didn't break something on the way down. Because this thing has some weight to it.
Yeah. Like,
this is,
Maybe your other items were worthy and they could handle it. I don't know.
Right. Clearly, my IKEA wall panel was not worthy.
Yeah.
Clearly. Anyway. Well, all right. So, yeah. Bill, you're going on this trip. Another con or something? Or what do we got?
No, I'm going to go see my family. And my brothers have boys for kids. So, there are 5 boys between the ages of 4 and 8. And we are going to do a creative project with them. So excited.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. Cool. I love uncle nephew business. It's great. Nothing sure. like it.
My mom.
Sorry, you keep cutting out. I think you got that Wi-Fi thing from last week still.
Oh no, my modem is actually going to go bad today.
That's another step is replace your modem.
Yeah, why not?
I think that's the cable. That's the problem.
It must be.
So it's funny you showed your Mjolnir that we're going to make with the kids is little foam hammers for the boys to run around with.
Nice.
I figured it was a good idea to get a foam hammer. They're going to hit each other in the head with what we make. So make it out of foam. They can't hurt each other too much.
That's a good idea. We just bought Van. Went to I guess we got it on Amazon, but they have a whole package of foam swords you can just buy for like 10 bucks.
Oh, nice.
And there's like 15 swords in there. That dude's in heaven right now. He's just swinging at everything, probably too much. You know, we've put a little bloodlust in him, I guess. I don't know what's going on, but no, this is great. So, yeah, I assume all of your foam smithing will come to bear here a little bit.
Definitely a little different kids. They're between the ages of 4 and 8. So lots of adult supervision, no power tools, no toxic glue, probably no hot unless an adult is in charge of that.
Yeah.
No sharp knives and something that we can finish in a amount of time.
Yeah. And you're there. You're just there for the weekend. Is that the plan or something like that?
Oh, we'll be there for a few days.
All right. That's nice. That's great. So old Uncle Bill with his cool skills and making his foam shit is awesome. What a rad thing for those kids. That's great.
Yeah. I hope that's what they get out of it. So I'm building these kits. I'm going to pre-make them with double-sided tape on it, so they don't have to glue it. They can just peel the tape off together, and then we'll let them paint it. They can just go nuts. They can paint it however they want, and that's the best part. They can personalize it. It doesn't have to look anything like the real Mjolnir. They can just have fun with it. And then each one of them has their own thing, and which is important. And I thought about making each one of them then would be the favorite and they would all fight over it.
Yeah, you don't want that. That's the hard thing with kids is they all have their own they're gonna just say no fair. He got whatever. Right, so so you gotta try to figure out it's like video game balance. You gotta figure out how to give this kid the sword and this kid the hammer, and somehow hammer and sword kid are both happy with what they got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm hoping that if they want something fancy about their hammer, they can just do that. They can paint it themselves.
There you go.
I also have a bunch of like self-adhesive foam and like glue and stuff that they can use to fancy it up all they want.
Nice.
Yep. Well, I'm excited.
You're now the cool uncle for sure.
I hope so. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah. You should document some of this so you can show people off what cool stuff you made. That'd be cool. Inspire a new generation, Bill. That's your goal.
That's what we're going.
All right. Very nice. Well, nice. I can't wait to see back how all that stuff goes. In the meantime, do you have a bonus link that you'd like to get?
I do. Yes. So, video from Peter Strip, Strip is his link. If you look him up on YouTube, he decided to go get a Buzz Lightyear toy. Why?
Yeah. Hold on. Where is it? Here we go.
This is great. My God. I love the fact that he's got a little video attached or a little camera attached to this thing.
Wait, wow. He flies it?
Holy cow. Is that the right way to open a toy box? He's like using a blowtorch to open a...
Makes for a more fun video, Brian. You gotta, go nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see if I find that. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, they had to adjust his wings. His little wings were a problem, and then they had to add a little bit of propulsion. I'll let you watch the video to see what they use.
Yeah, I guess a little propulsion
like
is...
Like Estes rockets or whatever these things are. Oh, no, these are fireworks. Oh, God.
No, this is great. Oh, he's falling over.
This guy, blowtorch for everything. This guy is going to... These are going to be evidence at some point. This this guy... Like, he's making content. Pretty soon, he's going to be responsible for setting forest fires with his... burned up Buzz Lightyear.
Can you imagine? The 9,000 acre fire was started by a toy from Toy Story.
Exactly, yes.
And they'll question Bill as an accessory to murder. No, that's not true. Anyway, that looks awesome. Go check it out. It is Peter Sripple, S-R-I-P-O-L. And that video's got a lot of views. So
Gosh, look at his workshop is like,
oh yeah,
he's a chaos monster. This guy,
he is. Yeah, this is like, this guy is mayhem in a YouTube channel.
Yeah, I kind of like it. I like the energy I'm getting off this dude. It's pretty great. Bill, have a wonderful week. I guess we won't see you next week. You should be doing this good work for the next generation of makers. But we're gonna miss you. I wish you nothing but safe travels, and we'll talk to you soon.
Well, thanks.
Bye now.
See you, Bill.
Oh, his internet's bad.
I know. So rough. You had to really, like, it was all context, right? Like,
yep. We had to intuit. It's like listening to my brother Matt speak English. You just need to intuit a bunch of it. You just have to.
You gotta look at the words before and after to figure out what.
Yeah, it's the only way. All right. Well done. Hey, how about this?
How about it?
How about a Bobby? That's pretty good. I should go find those clips.
See if Veronica will record a new one saying, how about a Bobby?
I'll bet we could get her to. Her and I haven't talked in a while. Yeah. It's time. It's time for some friendship dues. Yes. All right. I'm going to play this, though.
Science.
It is science. And Bobby's here to talk about some of that science. It's Bobby Frankenberger, all the way from the beautiful American South, joins us each Tuesday. And we talk about some science of one sort or another. Hello, Bobby. Welcome back.
Thank you. It is it is beautiful in the American.
It is. South. I love it down there. Mm-hmm. Except, well, you have great food. All right, yeah. I'll give you that. You got your these mater bugs. I call them. It's not the right word.
But mater bugs
in the spring.
Are they on tomato plants?
No,
are they featured in the film Cars?
No, they're mating in the air while they fly.
Oh, those flying ant things.
Oh, we call them hair bugs.
Here. Oh, well, I call them a mouthful of protein, because when I was down there and on a bike or something, if you forgot to close your mouth, you would get six or seven of these bugs in mid-coitus, and you just eat them, and there was no way around it. It was awful.
Yeah.
And they're slow moving, so it's not like they're zipping too fast or whatever. They're just like floating, and they're fast on their own, but when they're mating, they're just hovering. And it's nasty. Yeah.
Pops and Recline says, that's the other thing, is love bugs. People all over call them love bugs, but we call them hair bugs here.
Why hair bugs? Because they get in your hair?
They get in your hair.
No. Yeah. Well, only the people with long hair
not
hear that.
Mine.
Yeah, not Brian's. Brian. Brian gets bird poop. That's what he gets.
Yes,
yeah,
that's what I get. Yes.
Well, Bobby, it's good to have you back. What are we what are we talking about today? What's going on?
Well, before we get to what I'm going to talk about, I wanted to tell everybody that I've been... Remember, I told you I was going to start streaming
some
video
games.
Yeah. And I started doing what I said I was going to do. I'm streaming RimWorld.
Oh, RimWorld, right. I saw your post last night. I meant to pop in and see how it went. That's a game I can't get my head around.
It's got a steep learning curve.
Yeah.
So I looked up a bunch of... guides to get started, and once you get started, it's not too bad. But we made a world with a bunch of characters of people from the Frog Pants Network, with like 18 different people all over the world, and you set it up and you start with three, and then you'll slowly encounter and find other people and hopefully have them join your colony. And it's been fun so far. We started off with just me and the two of you were landed on this island or this planet, and we were trying to make things work, building things. And Brian, you started the drama first, actually. Because
of course, yeah, that sounds about right.
You're an early riser; you don't sleep as much as the other people. And
that's actually accurate.
I tried to accurately make these people best of my ability, and there's a trait called I can't remember what it's called, but basically it makes it so that you don't need as much sleep.
Okay.
But you would get up. We were a one-room place. You'd get up, and you'd start turning rocks into bricks in the middle of the room where we were all sleeping, and that caused some drama because we weren't too happy about that.
Right, about the noise, sure. I get it.
But anyway, we got a bunch of stuff. We found Tom Merritt. Bo Schwartz joined us.
Oh, wow.
Amy Frost. Amy Frost is funny because she tried to attack our colony first.
Oh, geez.
And we had to stop her and try not to kill her and then convert her. So
you should have done it.
We did. She's a happy member of our group now. But anyway, okay. It's twitch.tv/BobbyFranks if you want to ever see me doing that. It's been fun.
Good. I'm going to come watch when you stream that game because I want to understand it more. Yeah. I feel like it's this crazy, overwhelmingly positive review since it came out. Everybody raves about it. And I just, I have it, but I launch it and I just go, I don't know what I'm doing.
It's overwhelming at first. You have to set up. It's one of these types of games where there's a lot of like planning and setup before you can, because it's all simulation, right? You don't directly control anything.
Yeah.
So.
Isn't it basically, it's Dwarf Fortress, but like a modern, more modern take on
it? It's like a, yeah, it's a more modern version of Dwarf Fortress. The graphics aren't that much better, I guess. But they are better and it's.
That is the one thing that throws me is it's so damned ugly. I wish
it's
somebody
more cartoony. So RimWorld is more cartoony than Dwarf Fortress was.
Yeah.
Because that game was like, it was like ASCII art when it first came out, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was very, very old, very ugly. And I don't know, RimWorld's, while an improvement, is still pretty freaking ugly. However,
yeah, just
why couldn't they just
tiny.
Skin this thing, man? It's like meeples. You got little meeples running around, and I wish they could skin it like a modern game or something. But whatever.
Well, there are a lot of. I mean, if you get on Steam, there's a lot of. I think that might be the only place you can get it. There's a lot of mods for it, right, in the Steam Workshop.
But. That's true. Somebody's probably done an overhaul graphic mod or something. I always like those. Well, all right. Now you're making me tempted to try it again. Well done. Well done.
You just have to look up a guide. That's all I did. It taught you how to get started. But
all right.
I'm not here to just talk about that. I just wanted to let people know that I was doing it. I don't have a regular schedule, so just follow twitch.tv/BobbyFranks and I'll let you know when I'm going on.
All right.
I've got kids and a life and stuff.
Sure.
I'm not trying to make a living out of this. Anyway, I wanted to talk about traffic.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Traffic and weather on the nines with Bobby
science,
Franks.
Traffic science.
Yeah, let's do it.
There is a lot, surprisingly, of traffic science because, which makes sense if you think about it, because traffic and the flow of traffic is sort of like the lifeblood of a city, right?
Sure.
The city lives and dies on how well traffic can flow through it. And if traffic can't flow smoothly through a city, it's hard for it to grow. And if it's going to grow and get more and more people, then it needs to be able to move people through it very easily. So there's ever since the 30s when cars started to be really, really common, people have been studying traffic. And so I was doing some research on this because I'm going to talk about it on one of the episodes I record tonight with Maura for the podcast. And as I was researching it all, I thought it'd be fun to talk about some of this. And in particular, I wanted to talk about something called phantom traffic jams.
Oh, no. No. Is it when an old lady rubbernecks because there's a wreck and, oh, no, now everything's slow?
So there's
it's
a lot
it's
to
an
it.
Old radio show. Ah, my Morris Minor just stopped 4 other cars. Ah.
Welcome to This Week on Phantom Traffic Jam.
There you go. Wow. That was some. Yeah.
Basically, have you ever been on the interstate driving and everything seems to stop, and then you're slowed or stopped for a while, and then it starts up again, and you never saw anything?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Yes. I hate that.
Nothing. There seemed to be nothing there. That is a phantom traffic jam, or they call them phantom bottlenecks as well. Mm. And did you ever think that you knew? Like, I used to think there must have been an accident that I've just missed.
Oh, yeah, right? No, like, I was always sure. There was just, or maybe they just cleaned it up right as I got to the end of it or something like that.
Well, I saw a video, like, for a while there was this viral video going around talking about if you follow somebody too close and then they, like, you know, tap on their brakes and their brake lights come on, you probably stop more and cause this new slowdown. And then all of a sudden it just has this ripple effect on creating this, you know, this place where everybody stops for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
Right. Right. You've kind of nailed what happens with these phantom traffic jams. So in general, what you're describing is right. When someone, especially on a high speed road, like the interstate, like highway, or freeway, you know, when you're following close behind someone, if you press on the brakes, then the person behind you has to press on the brakes a little bit more because of the because of the reaction time delay, right? Sure, so they they're gonna, if they were to press the brakes at exactly the same time as you, they could theoretically press it for exactly the same amount of time as you did, because then you'll both stop, but they don't. So they have to slow down more quickly and press it harder, which then causes the people behind them to have to do it even harder than them, and so on and so forth. And it causes a ripple, like you said, but they call it a shockwave down the line of traffic. And if the if there are enough vehicles on the road and they're following close enough to each other, which if you have a lot of vehicles on the road, face it, they're all going to be pretty close to each other.
Yeah.
Then you, that shockwave can go far enough back to where it stops traffic. And then the reverse will eventually happen. Once that first car accelerates again, then the next car behind it, the shockwave goes in reverse and there's an acceleration shockwave, right? And so that's why you have this experience where you seem to be slowed a lot or even stopped and then nothing was there. And it's just because some idiot was, it probably isn't the person who stopped or slowed down, actually. It's likely the person who is following,
who's following
too close.
Yeah, absolutely. The, for a while I was, and I still try to be conscious of it, that you're, the ideal way to keep this from happening is to not necessarily don't follow too close, obviously don't tailgate, but to maintain equal distance between the car in front of you and the car behind you. So if they come up, you come up a little bit more. And but I don't know if that's really true. So I'm hoping that you explain that, because
so when that viral sort of video that you were talking, that was going around, it's a good way to say it, a viral explanation, because there were a lot of people making videos and stuff about this a little while back. That was based on some research that was done modeling traffic in computers and AI algorithms and everything. And they did find, you're right, that if in the algorithm you programmed in where all the traffic tried to keep equal distance between the car in front of them and the car behind them, then then that minimized the effects of this of these shockwaves. And it makes sense, because if the car in front of you is far enough in front of you, then when it presses on its brake, you have time to react. You don't have to press on the brake as much, or maybe you don't have to press on the brake at all, right? Because you have time to react. But if you're too close and it's not. So they did find that, and that's how they programmed it, was keeping equal distance in front of you and behind you. It's very hard to do that with other people on the road, but if everyone were to change their behavior and the way that they think about things and just try to keep, you know, a certain amount of distance between you and the car in front of you, if everyone's doing that, then naturally it would mean that the cars behind you would be a good distance away as well, right?
Presumably.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's the best way to avoid that situation. You're right. But it's also, bottlenecks in general are just caused by this human error and slowing down. Whatever situation happens on the road that causes slowed traffic. You know how when you're on the interstate and one car in one of the lanes is going really slow?
Yeah. My
that
favorite.
Can also cause a problem. You might think, well, why do everybody could just go around that person, but it effectively turns a, it effectively reduces the number of lanes by one, having one person there, because if everybody's moving, if one lane of traffic is slower, then you can think about, like, if everybody's trying to move past it, that's, you can almost think about that slow lane as not being an effective driving lane, right? Because people are trying to move faster than that, right?
Right.
And so what ends up happening is someone gets close behind that person. Everybody does it, right? You don't want to change lanes. So you do end up following too close behind that person, because in your head you're thinking, they'll see me.
Yeah, yeah, right.
They'll see me get really close, and they'll get out of the way.
I'll chase them out of my lane. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
But that doesn't happen. So you get behind the person, and then you want to go around them. Or even if the person does get out of the way, it still causes a lane change, and lane changing causes people to press on brakes, and pressing on the brakes causes this shockwave. Right. Yeah.
This is why we need automated cars sooner than later.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is absolutely, I think, one of the benefits that will happen from self-driving cars is that they'll be able to, but everybody's got to do it, right?
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
There have to be a lot of self-driving cars for that time, because that's another thing in the research I was doing, is that you would think that self-driving cars will end up reducing traffic congestion, right? Because even in cities, self-driving cars will find like the most optimum path, and it might not be the shortest path, right? But it'll be the fastest one.
Yeah.
It'll reduce overall congestion. But they actually found that if only part of the cars on the road are autonomous driving cars, autonomous vehicles, it actually, for the short term, until you reach a certain threshold, it increases traffic congestion. Mm-hmm. And it's because both the drivers on the road and the algorithms in the AI of the cars all are trying to compensate for each other. So as an AI programmer, you have to put into the code some sort of an understanding that some of the people on the road are not going to be automated drivers, right? So you have to, it'll drive slower and more carefully than it could if everything on the road was autonomous, right?
Right. Right.
So that ends up slowing things down, and traffic is so complicated.
It's gonna be weird. I'm gonna think about this when I'm on the road next. I don't know if this is good or bad, but next time I hit any kind of snag of traffic, this is all I'm gonna think about is the science of it, because it's gonna drive me nuts. Because I'm gonna know that we are all falling to these moments of like what we think is, oh, must be a wreck in front of us, or that lady moved too quick, or I hit the brakes because that guy's blinker's been on for too long, or whatever, like all these little things. Right. And I'm gonna know that we're all contributing to this slowdown because we're stupid, and it's gonna bug the crap out of me.
The worst part is that when you start to think about this and you realize that, you'll realize that you are still part of the problem. You can't not be part of the problem unless everybody changes their behavior, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we're all just part of this one collective, like, fluid of traffic. And so your individual change is very small and doesn't make a lot of a difference, because you're just one tiny speck of a car.
Yeah. You're an atom in the overall. What are you? You're one organ in a big complicated body. How about that?
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah. You're one little tiny meeple looking guy in your game the thing you're playing. His name I just forgot for some reason.
Rimworld.
Yeah, you're one rim in a world. How about that?
Yeah.
Interesting. So I don't know if you've said this, but what inspired this topic? Like, what were you
thinking
about?
Were you in the
about?
Car? Like, did this happen to you?
Spending a lot of time driving. It's the summertime. We got to visit family, and I'm always thinking about, it might surprise you to know that I'm always thinking about science. So when I'm driving, I do think about this a lot. I've actually wanted to do a thing on the show about traffic for a long time, but it's kind of hard to do a feature on traffic without just listing, like, here's a bunch of cool science-y facts about traffic. And I like things to be a little bit more cohesive when we do it. But tonight we're doing, like, recording a double episode because of scheduling stuff. So we're recording two episodes in one night. So one of them is just going to be me talking about, because I don't have time to prepare two whole things in. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah.
That you don't care how I plan the thing. What you care about is that it won't be this Monday, but the next Monday will be the episode that comes out with talking about traffic. I'm gonna talk about more than just this these phantom traffic jams too. What causes traffic inside a city as well? Things that like the length of city blocks and the timing of green lights and all sorts of things. How to improve traffic? What people are doing to try to figure that out, and you always got to throw in traffic stats. Stats are, we love stats on science shows. So,
wow.
Lots of that.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
Cool.
Fantastic. You want more? All around science, baby. I like this kind of stuff. It doesn't always have to be about, you know, like you do a lot of really important coverage. Like, well, we talk about climate change. What does it mean? Or we're talking about COVID. Yeah. What does it mean? But this is like, hey, also, here's an everyday thing you don't think that much about. Why not understand it better next time you're out there on the road?
Yeah, that's what we like to do, because on our podcast, All Around Science, we just love science in general. And so sometimes we just get geeky about sciencey stuff, right? Before I go, I did need to make sure I announced that we just yesterday launched our Patreon. I feel weird promoting something like that on someone else's show, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it. If you like our show already, you'll hear about it, but I wanted to let everybody know that they can find that. But in conjunction with that, we launched a Discord community server, so you can find that.
Nice.
Also,
go do that, everybody. Because Bobby's there for you. He's your Frank.
Exactly.
He's your Frank and your burger. Okay.
You'll have a cool show to listen to while you're in traffic and understand why you're in traffic.
Yeah, it's and perfect. Then you'll feel less inclined toward road rage, perhaps. You know.
No, it'll make you angrier.
I will, right? Because you're like, it's that person right there.
You all, like, everyone thinks my wife is all sweet and nice and kind, and she is. But you put her behind a wheel, and somebody does something dumb in the lane next to her, you will see a different human being. And I don't think I want her to hear this, because it'll just make her madder. The other day, double bird, had her elbows on the wheel.
Really?
Double bird the other guy. F you, buddy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I love that she still steers with her elbows, like, just to give somebody the finger. It's not like, nope, one finger, hand on 10 and 2. Or,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. She is not one to be messed with on the road. She's not proud of it, but she gets really pissed at other drivers.
Put that on TikTok, Scott.
I know. I really should. Why am I not? Why am I not? I'm sitting right next to her. I'm not driving. I may as well film it. That's what I'm going to do. All right, Bobby, always a pleasure. All Around Science, everybody go find it. We will see you soon. Like next week, probably. Bye now.
Yeah.
See ya.
Thank you, he says.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Let's get to the dregs of the show, but not the dregs in a bad way, not in a negative way.
Oh, gosh, I know. That sounds such a negative
tone. Yeah, it has a pejorative tone to it, but it doesn't, because this is where we play a mashup. This is called TMS Mashup Doja Cat SPT. This is an SPT, which is... Or Dojo
Scott
Cat.
Scott pronounces things? Is that
Scott
what
pronounces
that is?
Things. You're right. Which explains the Dojo Cat.
Dojo Cat.
By the way, I really like her duet with Post Malone on his new album. Mm. This is so ironic. Like, Post Malone, his songs are, you know, kind of all over the place, but it's not really kid-friendly most of the time. Right. And Doja Cat, for sure, her music is absolutely not kid-friendly.
Right.
But those two get together... And they made the most wholesome song on any of his albums. It's the sweetest song about just having a friend who's a girl, but it doesn't have to be more than that. Just a friend I like to shop with and hang out with. And it's this silly little, I don't know how to explain it. It's really
I don't
odd.
Know that song, so I'm going to have to go listen to it.
You're going to have to check it out. It's a pretty good, the whole album's pretty good. But anyway, here we go. Here is that mashup from TMS Mashup's own Jamie. Enjoy. Just an early get you wet kind of, wet your whistle.
I'm wet. Thank you.
Bum plug. So we all know about this Ghislaine Maxwell.
Ghislaine Maxwell. Is I don't it think Ghislaine? You pronounce the S.
It's not Ghislaine.
I don't think but Ghislaine is great.
It's
I think
pretty
we should
good.
Start calling her Ghislaine.
Yeah, I think Ghislaine might be the appropriate deal. And Chris Wallakakatis. Wallakakatis.
Not an extra K in there.
Wallakatis.
Damn it. Hey, you have me doing it. Wallakatis.
Kardashian made the promise that we fully believe she'll keep. The brunette beauty.
all of which are correct.
Yeah,
all
I
of
guess those. Every one of those variations.
The broody, booty, beauty.
The 400 has been identified as Sandeep Turkam, Pawa Mangesh, Janatar Kamatarkar, and Ashki Sunil.
Yeah, we're doxing them. We're giving out their names here on TMS.
That's fine.
If we can pronounce them.
Yeah, it's not even a good doxing. You can't say these names right.
Here's another word I've never known how to pronounce. Anise or anise or
anus.
Whatever.
You're saying anus.
Yeah.
Right.
You boil your peanuts with licorice flavor.
So you're saying boil your penis in an anus. Is that what I heard?
That's exactly both what
holes.
I said.
Great. Both holes. Chanita Kudrum, I'm going to say.
Sure.
Shot Buchini Moostin.
Oh, let's go Boon Chewy. Boon Chewy Moostin.
Okay, it's yours is better. Way
I
better.
Like Boon Chewy.
Boon Chewy. Boon Chewy. That's like a buffed Chewy. The case was taken to the Indian penal court. Sorry, not penal. It's penal.
Come on. Yeah. Perfect opportunity. Look, when I'm that penal court.
When I just spent the last 2 minutes trying to pronounce a bunch of Indian names, nothing else looks right now. It's all wrong.
This is good.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah, just don't keep going to like new ones like Dojo Cat and some of these guys. That's all vaginas all the time. That's all it is.
Dojo Cat.
Yeah.
It ended up being a few minutes of
is it Doja Cat? Sorry, Doja Cat.
Doja, yeah.
I had a few minutes of...
She's teaching karate to Johnny Lawrence.
Feline kitty karate. I'm very excited about this.
I can't figure out why I enjoy more. Our old age or our whiteness. I can't figure out...
There's something.
We got a little... Dunaway's film sack in there.
Yeah, a little film sack. Dunaway's quips, probably the best things on film sack. They're really hard to reproduce.
Sure. Yeah,
he's very good at it. Anyway, there you go. Thanks, Jamie. That was awesome as always. And that's it. I want to remind people Tuesdays are for Play Retro. It's for old games. Tonight we're talking about the Dreamcast, the Sega that could have been, had things been a little different for them in terms of competition. So we're going to talk about that launch, the best games on that thing, and what the world looks like without a Dreamcast today. Why Sony, willing? It destroyed Sega's dreams. Okay, that's what happened. The PlayStation 2 destroyed them. Anyway, that's tonight. Play Retro. We're going to be doing that at 3:30 Mountain Time right here at frogpants.tv or on the podcast, whichever way you'd prefer to get it. Brian, you got anything going on today you want to mention?
No, this is going to be this week is easy for me as far as podcasting. No recording stuff, no streams, anything like that. I am writing, training. You know,
yep.
Hey, if you have not contributed yet and you're like, oh, yeah, I still need to contribute. Plenty of time still. Just go to tiny.cc/bikecoverville2022. That's tiny.cc/bikecoverville2022.
Yep. You're going to help make him sweat, baby.
How to make you sweat.
Or I got lose control. Something in your booty. I don't know how it goes.
I don't either. But
made it up. Anyway, so yeah, do that. That'd be a really good cause. Help fight MS with your good riding bike riding pal, Brian Ibbett.
That's right. Be thinking of you as I ride and as I
that's right.
Go across this someone crazy, needs to think crazy of you. State of ours.
We need to give a couple of mentions to some patrons real quick. Patreon.com/TMS is how this show is funded. It's funded by you, the listener. And Sean, Michael, Eric, and Dan Wyckazorek. Ways Kazorik.
Perfect.
I don't think that's right, but Dan, Wizarek. I'm sorry.
Wizarek is how I would pronounce
Wizarek?
It.
Wizarek? It's got that Wizarek, C in Wizarek. There. Yeah, it's got, I think it's Polish probably origin.
Yeah, with a CZ, Polish or Hungarian or Austrian. Yeah.
I love that the guy with the hardest last name to say has the first name Dan. You know?
Dan.
Sure. How do you say your name? Dan. What's your last name? Oh, you really don't want to know. You don't want
to
know.
Stick to Dan.
Anyway, you guys are awesome, and if you want to be awesome like Dan, Michael, and Sean, you can sign up today. So head on over to patreon.com/TMS and hop in before the month ends so you can get this month's benefits. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. If you're trying to contact us, themorningstream@gmail.com will get you there, and that'll do it for today. Brian, song time, yeah? We do a song?
Yeah. This one's going out to Joshua Hilton, who says, Dear Sock and Boot,
ooh,
this year marks the end of my 39th trip around this big ball of burning gas we call the sun and the start of my 40th. My birthday falls on a Sunday again this year. Therefore, I leave the decision of whether to play this on Friday or Monday to the cover master. I would like to request the rock cover of A Good Country Song. Originally recorded by Mark Wills, I would like to request What Hurts the Most by State of Mind.
Thanks.
There you go. Just sneaking that in.
Perfect. Well done. Well snuck. Yeah. Joshua. Happy birthday, Joshua. And what you left out is that not Big and Rich. There was another popular country duo that recorded it. shoot, and I don't have it in front of me. So let's just say, okay, yeah, Mark Wills, because he was the first person to record it. He was the writer of the track, I believe. But this is a great version, a great rock version, a cool simmering metal take on What Hurts the Most. This is by State of Mind from their from a single of the same name they released in 2018. Here is What Hurts the Most.
All right, that'll do it. We'll be back tomorrow with the Wednesday edition of the show. Feels weird not having a Monday because of the holiday, but whatever. It is what it is. But we'll be here. We got all the stuff we plan on Wednesday, so come on back then. We'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Great strength, piss-ass balance.
Yeah.